Matthew 24. Title of this message, Be Not Deceived. That's what our Lord says to His disciples. And that's His word to us. Be not deceived. Now our Lord left the temple. And when he left it for good, never to return to it. He's about to go to the cross and accomplish redemption. And in doing so, he will put an end to the old covenant, the old priesthood, and the old sacrifices. He'll put an end to them. These things have served their purpose and are needed no more. The one they represented has come, and he's fulfilled their purpose, and they are to be done away with. As Solomon said, there is a time, a season, a purpose for everything under heaven. And that temple, that old priesthood, that old covenant served its purpose. Our Lord is our temple. He is our altar. He is our sacrifice. He is our high priest. He is our mercy seat. He is our all in all. Jesus Christ is our all in all. We do not need things to worship Him. We just need a heart to worship Him. A heart given of God to worship Him. Now let me give you a little lesson here, a little history lesson as I get into this. Our Lord said the temple would be destroyed. He said not one stone would be left upon another. And it was destroyed in 70 AD, as he said, it would be destroyed. Caesar gave command that the city be destroyed. And a general named Titus came in with his army and destroyed the city. And it said that he tried to keep the temple because it was so beautiful. But his army was so angry at the Jews that they went in and just took everything that was in the temple. They took everything that was in it. And then they tore the temple down. And then there was a man named Turnus Rufus. He's called Turnus Rufus the Wicked. He came in and he literally plowed the ground where the temple sat. And to this day, they really can't determine exactly where that temple sat. But that also fulfilled the scriptures. This is how important it is to know the scriptures. We have the word of God. You know, we have the future right here in our hands. We have it right here in our hands. Listen to this in Micah 3:12. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field. And Jerusalem shall become heaps. That happened, as the Lord said. The lesson here is everything our Lord foretold came to pass. So as we read these things in the scriptures, they also will come to pass. The ones that have not come to pass, that will come to pass. They spoke of the end of the world. When shall it be? The end of the world will come. No matter how foolish people think we are, I assure you on God's word, there's an end to this. He says in Hebrews that he'll fold it up, that it wax old, he'll fold it up like a vesture and put it away. It's done with. It served its purpose. Now, in verse 3, it says, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him and asked him when all this will happen. And then we have the following answer. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. That's the first thing he said to them. Now beware and take heed that you're not going to be deceived. This is the watchword for the church throughout all ages. Wars and rumors of war, pestilence, famine, nation against nation, all this together. Now listen, all this together is not as dangerous as being deceived. As someone deceiving you about the gospel and about your salvation. He said, don't be deceived. Satan's greatest work of evil is deception. He started in the garden. His greatest work is deception, especially when it comes to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not care. Now listen, I want you to listen to this carefully. Satan does not care if you believe the gospel as long as it is not the right one. He does not care if you believe on Jesus Christ as long as he is not the right one. Now you're saying, what are you talking about? 2 Corinthians 11:4, listen to this. Paul says to the Corinthians, "For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, one that this Bible knows nothing about." I give you another Jesus, a Jesus that wants to save you if you'll let him. That's another Jesus. That's not the sovereign Christ of heaven and earth, who said in John 17, "Father, you have given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received," listen, "or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might bear with," Paul saying, "you might bear with me." You might want to listen to me. Listen to Galatians 1:6-7. Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another gospel is a gospel of works. If you and I have to do absolutely anything, it's another gospel. Christ did it all. All to him I owe. Faith is a gift of God. Faith is not something you and I muster up. The scripture says that faith, "For by grace are you saved through faith." That faith is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. God gave you faith. God worked faith in you. He gave you life. He gave you life, and in that life, he worked faith in you. Dead men don't believe. You ever find a dead man that believed? He don't believe. They don't do anything but stink up the place. The living believe. The living believe. God has to give life and repentance. It says in the book of Acts that God granted to the Gentiles, God granted faith and repentance. He gave it to them. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel," which is not another. There is no other gospel. There is no other way to be saved. There is no. Christ said, "I'm the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert." They take the God. Here's what Satan does. He's a master of deception. He takes it and he puts a twist on it. He doesn't just completely remove it. He just takes it and puts a little twist on it. It's like rat poison. They say rat poison. I don't know. I've never looked at rat poison, but they say it's 99% good food. 1% poison. It's that poison that kills you. It's that poison. Satan uses men to deceive other men with putting a twist on the gospel. And he says here in verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." He said many. Many. And they'll deceive many. You know, it's in history. History proves out that many came after the Lord ascended back to glory. They came claiming to be the Messiah. I didn't write down several, but several men came at that time after the Lord ascended back and claiming to be the Messiah. And they got a great following at that time. They had a big following. All of them were destroyed, but they all got a following. And those who followed them perished with them. Our Lord said in John 5:43, "I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you'll receive." People want a Savior, but not God's Savior. That's what they want. They want a savior of their own making, a savior of their own imagination, a savior they can conjure up and be just like them. As God said, you thought I was altogether like yourselves. But if not, he said, I'm not. I'll reprove you over in the Psalms. There were many in the days prior to the destruction of Jerusalem who arose and claiming to be the Lord's anointed. Multitudes followed them. You say, are people that gullible? I don't know. Ask Jim Jones. Ask David Koresh. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, you and I'd be that gullible. Let me tell you something. Following another gospel is just as gullible as following somebody like Jim Jones. It's just as gullible. And just as bad. But let me give you the greater danger. The greater danger are the ones who stand in the pulpit claiming to preach Christ of whom the Bible knows nothing about. Make sure, and this is important, make sure the Jesus Christ you and I believe on is the one in the Word of God. Well, how do I do that? How do I do that? Well, first of all, it starts with this. Is he the Son of God? Is he the Son of God? This man named Jesus Christ, is he really, truly God manifested in the flesh? Is he? Is he the surety of the everlasting covenant of grace? Is he that surety? Is he the one who came to save his people from their sins? Now, did he come to save his people from their sins, a multitude of sinners no man could number, or did he just come to make salvation a possibility? Did he actually accomplish salvation? Did Jesus Christ really, truly accomplish redemption? Yes, that's the Jesus Christ of this Bible, the sovereign Christ of God Almighty, in whose hands we are. He's not in my hands. Jesus Christ is not in my hands. I'm in his. And I can think of no better hands to be in than his. The Christ of God is the substitute and redeemer of the church. Does the one we believe fit the scriptures? Does he fit the Old Testament scriptures? Does he fit the Old Testament scriptures? Our Lord said, you study the scriptures. They are they which testify of me. And he's speaking of the Old Testament scriptures, the Psalms and the prophets. They spoke of me, he said. Does he fit that Old Testament types? The Passover lamb, the high priest, the priesthood, the altar, all of that. Does he fit that? Yes. The one's priest here does. I promise you that. Now, in verses 6 through 12, these verses teach us one thing. All this that our Lord said is going to happen. Nation will rise against nation. There's going to be wars, rumors of wars and troubles and all of these things. These verses teach us one thing. That we live in a sinful world and there will never be peace on this earth. Not this earth. There cannot be peace where sin abounds. Can't be. There will always be wars and rumors of wars. There will always be unrest in this world, this sinful world. Always. Well, what are we to do? How are we to handle that? He says to his disciples and to his disciples here, see that ye be not troubled. Don't turn the television on and fall apart. Don't turn on the news and fall apart. See that you be not troubled. Things are not out of control. Oh, this world's out of control. No, it's not. It's under his control. It's under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. These things are serving God's purpose. These things are serving, all these things that's going on, they are serving you. We need to realize that. These things are serving our good. Our good. We say, how in the world is that? Well, first of all, it teaches us our dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. In times of trouble, we don't need to wring our hands and wonder what is going to happen. I know it's fine. It's as some of you say, it's all good. It's all good. It teaches, it also does this. It weans us from this world. Well, this world has a hold of us, doesn't it? Henry said one time, he said, the hardest part about dying is this. Our relationships. It's all the things we have here, all the things we've done, all the things we've accomplished, and the relationships we have. It weans us from this world. It makes us ready to go home. It makes us take our minds and our hearts on off the things here and set them on things above. Our time on this earth is very short. 70 years. What is that? I'm 64 and I realize, what is that? That's what it is. Job said it's a vapor. Your life is a vapor. It just goes by so fast. It weans us from this world. But listen here. All these things conform us to the image of Christ. Whatever God sends our way, whatever we experience, whatever's going on, it's conforming us to the image of Christ. Do I want to be conformed to the image of Christ? Then stop complaining when trouble comes. Because our Lord suffered. Someone said that God had one son without sin. He had no sons without suffering. No sons without suffering. And let me point out something else here. Our Lord tells us, He tells us what is going to happen. Boy, this jumped out at me when I was reading this. This just jumped out at me. You and I can be surprised by things, but our Lord cannot be surprised. He cannot be surprised. All that shall be has been foreordained of God. Everything that from time, from beginning to end, is ordained of God. Nothing is just willy-nilly going along. And not one person, not one angel is out from under His control. Not one atom, not even the fall of a leaf is out of His control. All things have been foreordained of God. Therefore, He says, be not troubled when these things happen. For all these things, now listen, must come to pass. Whatever's happening out there today. And it is such a mystery that you and I are not going to know all that. We're not going to know what, you know, why is this going? Why is that going? A preacher say one time, when I get to heaven, I got some questions I want to ask God. My first thought was, I seriously doubt you're going to get there. If that's your attitude, I seriously doubt you're going to get there. You're going to question God. You're going to put God on stand. And you're going to bring Him into judgment? I don't think so. I tell you, there's only one question. There's only one question. Why me? Why'd you love me? Why would you save me? And you know the scripture says, even so, Lord, it seemed good in thy sight. That's the answer. He sovereignly loved me. He loved me because, you know what? God loved me because He loved me. Don't try to go in explaining the mysteries of God. These peanut minds can't handle it. We can't handle it. He said, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. And we ought to say, you're right. You're right. Don't look at these events and think and say, it's the end. When all these things start to happen, it's the end. Don't let some joker come along and say, the end is here. I thought this last night. Mount St. Helens is blown up. There's a sign. There's a big earthquake over in China. There's another sign. The mother of all wars is about to happen. There's a sign. No. Just go home and rest. The end is not yet. These are just things that's going to happen in this life. It's a sinful world. And these creation, listen, creation, it says in Corinthians, groans. Groans under the burden of sin. Creation groans. So when you hear an earthquake, or you hear of a volcano erupting, you know what you're hearing? The earth groaning under the weight of sin. Because the earth was made subject to it because of us. It's where it happened. He said, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, not the end of sorrows. That will not be until we stand in His presence. Sorrow is just part of this life, isn't it? And then our Lord prepares His people for what will happen to them. He tells them about these other things. Now He's going to deal with them directly, His apostles, disciples, which became His apostles. He's going to tell what will happen to them for preaching the gospel of His grace. You know, when you first heard the gospel, when you really heard it now, you heard it, you believed it. Well, you thought everybody must hear this. You thought everybody would like to hear this. Only the people whom God saved like to hear it. Nobody likes to hear the gospel of the grace of God, because the scripture says the gospel is offensive. It's offensive to human nature. It's offensive to self-righteousness. It offends our thoughts of ourselves. It offends our thoughts of God. It offends our pride. It offends everything about us. There's none good, no, not one. Does that make you mad? It does if you're self-righteous. He said, you can't be talking about me. What that Pharisee said, Lord, I thank you, I'm not like other men. I do this, I do that. And that sinner down there said, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. The gospel is offensive. That's why Paul warns in one place that you don't take away the offense of the gospel. It's been watered down so much to try to get people to accept it, where people can just stay as they are, be who they are, and have that too. It's like, you know, it just, I've learned that present day preaching is all about going to heaven and missing hell. That's basically what it's about. The gospel is about a union, a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a relationship with God Almighty in Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. How God can be a just God and have anything to do with a wretch like me. That's the gospel. Our Lord said to that woman, remember that Syrophoenician woman? She said, Lord, the puppies get to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And He said that, it's not right to give the children's bread to the dogs. She said, you know what she said? She said, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have called me a dog. No, she didn't say that. She said, you're right, Lord. I have no right. This dog has no right to your crumbs of mercy. But I know you delight to show mercy. And I sure need some mercy. He says in verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Various will be the trials of God's people. You will not be popular if you preach the gospel of the grace of God. You won't be popular. He says here, Christ says you'll be hated. He said, if they hated me, they'll what? They hate you too. And some of you will be killed. He says, some of you, he's looking at his disciples, some of you are going to be put to death. All of them was, but John, wasn't it? John put on the Isle of Patmos. There's others that were beheaded and crucified. And Paul was put in an arena with wild animals. I mean, that's not popular. That's not the way you treat popular. He said, you know, you're going to have trouble. It's not going to just be trouble out here. You're going to have trouble in the house. And then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. The gospel, as I said, is offensive. It's offensive to the natural man. It's offensive to the self-righteous man. In Matthew 15:12, the disciples came to our Lord and they said to him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Don't you know you offended them? They were born offended. They're going to live offended, and they're going to die offended, unless God saves them. A gospel that does not offend is not of God. Is not of God. And there will be many who have made a profession. When they shall be persecuted for their profession, he said, they're going to be offended, and they're going to recant. They're going to recant. Their attitude is like, I didn't sign up for this. You know, I signed up for going to heaven, but I didn't sign up for this. Listen to Matthew 13:20-21, speaking of the parable of the sower. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by, he's offended. It's like, why is God letting this happen to me? Why am I going through this? You know, Job did not say, when he lost his 10 children, when God took them, he didn't say, why'd you do this, God? Why'd you do this? Why'd you take my sons and daughters? He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what he said. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Because many shall be offended, it'll make it easy for false prophets to come in and get a following. Many false prophets will come in, they'll take the gospel and they'll put a twist on it. They'll just put a twist on it. Here's what our Lord is telling us. They'll put a twist on it. And they will deceive many. They'll deceive many. And they'll get a following. They will arise from the church. There will always be wolves among the sheep. That's why John said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Don't eat everything you're served up. Take it to the Word of God. Take everything to the Word of God. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many, he says, shall wax cold. Love will be tested. Love will be tested. And where it's real, it will endure. Love fails not. Love never fails. That's what Scripture says. Love never fails. But where it's false, it fails. Because whatever it is that a person loves, that's what they will end up going to. They will gravitate to it. They will. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And I want you to pay attention here. The gospel holds no hope for quitters. Listen to Colossians 1:23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. He says, don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. There's an old saying, quitters never win and winners never quit. But I'm going to add this to it as it applies to faith. Faith or false faith never finishes, and true faith never, never quits. Where God has begun a work, He finishes that work. But there are many false professions. And in a while, they'll quit. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. It's evident that if a person leaves the gospel, if they leave it for another gospel, they never had it. They never had it. My sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow. They will not follow. Last of all, the gospel shall prevail, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The gospel, he says, is going to go through all the world, all nations, all languages are going to hear the gospel. Henry said one time, this has not been too long ago, he said, I used to wonder how is that going to happen? This is before the internet. He said, I used to wonder how is that going to happen? That the gospel goes through all the world, through all nations, through all communities. He said, now I realize that through the internet, you know, we got a sermon audio. We preach in China and Africa, and I mean, we preach in a lot of places just from this pulpit. You know, I know that man takes things like the internet and they use it for very corrupt things. But God has brought these things about that the gospel may be preached. The gospel may be preached. I heard the gospel from my pastor on television. I was watching him on television and heard the gospel. That's how God sent it to me. And what our Lord is saying here also is none of the above is going to keep out the gospel. The wars, the rumors of war, all these events, all these calamities, pestilence and what we call calamities, they're not going to stop the gospel. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. It's not going to keep out the gospel. It's not going to keep out God's servant. The end will come. Listen here. And I quit. The end will come when the last sheep of Christ hears the gospel and believes. Then cometh the end. And who knows? That last sheep might be here in Spring Lake. It might be. All right.